James chapter 3, and we'll start in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8. James chapter 3, verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8 if you follow along as we read the Word of God here. The Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." I don't think the scripture was very direct enough about the importance and the destruction of the tongue. Maybe we need to go over that all again. No, the Word of God is very clear about how important the tongue is, the words that we use, the things that we say, and the things that we type. May I make sure I put that out there as well, or post and all that as well? And but we're talking about faith with your words tonight. That'll really continues on for this whole chapter about how we use our words and our tongue. The Bible truly is our guidebook for life. You know that? The Bible isn't just something good to reference when we get a chance to, and we kind of compare it to what we think and what the world says. No, the Bible is my guidebook for life. It tells me what to do, what not to do, how to act, what to say, where to go. You say, you really want the Bible controlling your life? Yes, I do. I hope you do as well, because it's either the Bible controlling my life, or me controlling my life, or the world controlling my life, and those go down the destructiveness of our flesh, the world, the devil. They're leading us the wrong direction, and we need God's Word to guide our life. The Word of God teaches us right from wrong. You ever go to the Word of God, and God is just very direct about your sin, your problem, your need, and you think, God, that was kind of harsh, but you think, but I needed it, right? And we need the Word of God to be harsh. You know, sometimes that correction that we don't always like that God gives us, or that maybe a loved one gives us, that maybe can hurt, but we need it because it's going to help us to get back on the right track. And I assume that all of us have said things at times that we shouldn't have said. You can amen if you want, nod, wave the hanky, whatever. No, you don't have to do that. But we've gone ahead of ourselves sometimes, and we've said something. You ever been with someone and you said something and you turned to them and said, "Why didn't you stop me from saying that?" Like it's coming out of your mouth and you're trying to, like, you know you're saying the wrong thing and you're trying to pull it back as you're saying it, and you're like, it's too late, and you just stuck your foot in your mouth big time and you want to just crawl into the door and slide under the door and just leave, and you think, "What did I say? What did I do?" Our speech will get us in trouble. Our tongue can be very destructive. And this chapter teaches us much about the tongue. And we're going to look at a number of these that the Bible gives comparisons for the tongue to different things. And it gives us the analogy of destructiveness of the tongue and compares it to fire, calls it a world of iniquity, unable to be tamed, set on fire of hell, an unruly evil, and full of deadly poison. Don't you feel good about yourself tonight? But if we're honest, we've all been there before, where we spoke out of anger, frustration, bitterness, just, you know, that quick response that you want to say that isn't the good thing to say, and we just respond, and you know, like, ooh, we got back at them, and our words can be very destructive. And we need to have a proper understanding of the tongue. And the book of Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So the tongue is not always bad. God uses it for good. But it's either that negative or positive And so we must be careful with our speech. We looked in the first couple of verses about the danger of our words, and we looked at, in verse number one, of the danger of not being many masters. The danger of being many masters is being a teacher in more areas than you're really capable to advise in. You know that person that they know everything about everything, and you're like, there's no way you know everything about that. They've always got a one-up on your story, and they always know something more. There's no way you know all that. I know you're making it up. But basically, it's the danger of being a know-it-all. No one can tell us what to do. We're always telling others what to do. The problem is that if we're always talking, we're never what? Listening. And we should be listening, receiving counsel, receiving wisdom from others. We looked at the danger of condemnations, the Bible says, of judging and sentencing. You ever judged someone or something before you really knew the full details of it? Someone puts something out on the internet, tells you a story, and we get all worked up and you're like, oh, that wasn't the full story. How many times are we going to fall to that trap and understand we don't know it all? And man, today, you know, we're sentencing people in a moment and we don't know all that. Judging and sentencing, let's leave that up to the authorities, to the Lord, things of that nature. The danger of many offenses, of hurting others. And the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, for in many things we offend all. And we've all been guilty of offending others, family, friends, people at work, people passing by. And we can easily, not realizing it, leave a path of destruction as we go by and be in danger of many offenses, hurting people with what we say. And we must be careful of our words and realize that there is a danger. You've heard the danger of you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. And that's really what probably the main example that the tongue is related to is about a fire. And playing with fire is when you let your tongue loose. If you're that person, you're like, I just say what I think. Well, you're speaking wrong then. We're speaking foolishness out of turn. We're speaking out of turn. If we just speak everything that we think and it just comes out, we must be careful of that. But understand this, what comes out comes from the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so it comes from our heart and it comes out. We can say, well, I didn't mean it. Well, it came from somewhere. So let's be careful about what we say. We're going to look at a couple examples here about the tongue being compared to three areas tonight that we're going to look at in verse 4, 5, and 6 this evening. First of all, we're going to look how the tongue is compared to a bit in the horse's mouth. Now again, these lessons aren't exactly encouraging. They're more correcting, all right? But comparing us and our lack of control over our tongue as it would be an unruly, untamed horse that needs a bit put in its mouth. Again, maybe not the encouraging thought you were looking for tonight. I am not a horse handler by any sense. I did grow up and get to learn how to ride on our neighbor's horse. It was very gentle, and we rode on a soft saddle, and it just had the bridle but no bit in its mouth, and it was very tame, and we got to learn how to ride the horse. It was really neat. But I learned this, that a horse is a very powerful, strong animal. And at times, even the best of animals, sometimes they have that moment where they snap, where they get out of control, and that bit in their mouth is supposed to help you to harness the power of that animal as you jump on its back. And a bit is, to give an explanation, it's part of the bridle. It's inserted in a horse's mouth, and it enables a rider to cue a horse on placing pressures in the horse's mouth. So you can turn the horse by turning those reins. And the point of this lesson is really to have our tongue under control. To have it under control. Every one of these about a bit in the horse's mouth, the helm to the ship that guides the ship, and then a fire to tame that as well, to have our tongue under control. And so really talking about this bit in the mouth. A bit is used, first of all, for obedience. For obedience. You jump on that big, strong animal, and if that thing goes out of control and starts bucking and starts chucking people off, we went on a trip last year, and we did some trail horseback riding, and we were just walking with the horses. It wasn't a lot, Really, I mean, it was going up and down the hills a bit, but we weren't galloping or anything. And my nephew, they weren't sure what happened. They think the horse got bit or stung or something. But all of a sudden, on a steep trail, and a small trail, the horse just started jumping and bucking and spinning. And he, first of all, didn't even want to get on the horse, but he did. Said, "I'm going to do it," and of course, he'd be the one to get bucked. And he finally found a spot where he could jump to the side. He got kicked on the way out, and needless to say, I don't think he's ever getting on a horse again. But the point of getting on its back, and you get their reins, and there's a whole lot more to that as well, but you're in control. You want to be in control because you want that horse to obey you. You don't want to get on that horse, and all of a sudden it's like going down the path, and all of a sudden you're on for a long, crazy ride. The bit is used for obedience, is used for direction. And when you get on that horse, you're in control. Or you should be in control. If you're not, we're not doing things right, or you got on the wrong horse. But it's for obedience. You want it to go the direction you want it to go. And they give you all the instructions of how to get on there and to hold on and get the reins. And you want that horse to obey you. And a bit is also used to hold back, to pull back. And you pull that bit to turn it, to direct it, but also sometimes, and you give that, whoa, and you pull back and say, we're stopping now. But it's really about control. And when it comes to our tongue, we must have obedience to God's word when it comes to our tongue. We must have direction as to how our tongue is used, not just letting it go wherever, but using it correctly, but then also holding back, which is probably the hardest part of speech to deal with, of not saying what you really want to say. The funny thing is, not always the right thing to say. I don't know if you noticed that. The quick response is not always the best one to use. An untamed horse is unusable and possibly dangerous. You can't do anything with it until you can tame that horse and you can use it properly. So do we have a spiritual bit for our mouths to where we have direction? We can hold back. We have obedience when it comes to the Word of God about our speech. So we must be careful. So it gives the analogy of the tongue compared to a bit in a horse's mouth. Next, we see in verse number 5. Well, let's read verse 4. We didn't read through that again. It says, verse number 3. I got ahead of that. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And then verse number 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they driven about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So we see how the tongue is compared to the helm of a ship. And the helm is that steering wheel, if you will, the helm, and it guides the rudder. And you have a great and a mighty ship, and you've got a little rudder in the back. And as you turn the helm, and it guides that rudder, and it turns the ship where you want to go. Now, water, if you haven't realized, water is very powerful. Water is very destructive, and a lot of times the jobs when people are out deep sea fishing are some of the most dangerous jobs because the ocean and the waves can be very destructive. And so the Bible talks about how the ships, which though they be so great and they're driven of fierce winds, they're guided by a very small helm. And it guides to turn one direction or the other. And I'm not going to give all my nautical terms because I didn't look those up beforehand. But the purpose of the helm is to control the speed of the ship. The purpose of the helm steers the ship. It's to help avoid hazards. And I could assume if you're on a ship, you would not like to sink. You'd probably not want to go down and have to use that little boat or vest or whatever it is. And the little orange vests that just go around, those don't look very safe, I'm guessing. But very easily, you can get onto the open water and the ocean and realize how powerful the sea, how powerful the ocean is, and how that little small helm can be very powerful. And you want to know what you're doing with that. The Bible says that this ship, it's driven of fierce winds. And if you think of your life as that ship, and then the storms really of the world around us, and as the storms sometimes come and crash in on us, and that we must be careful that we don't get driven about by the storms of life, but we let God be in control of our lives. And then you look at that, how the Bible says it's turned about with a very small helm. And that helm is really the picture of the tongue. And how the tongue, the Bible says, if you can control your tongue, you're a perfect man and able to control your whole body. And if you can control your tongue through the storms of life and the difficulty and the times where we would want to say something and we can control that, we can turn about our life really. And then it continues on to say, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And that's the idea that God should be in control of our lives. I'm not to be in control of my life. God should be in control of my life. How many times in our life do the storms come and we go about answering matters that we have no business answering? That we go about making decisions. We've not come to the Word of God. We've not come to the governor of the ship and saying, God, how do you want to guide my life? Well, that's what I want to do. And let God control and guide our life. Allow God to be the captain of the ship. The Holy Spirit living inside of us, but we should be controlled by God. God's not going to come and just take control of your life. And at times, I bet the Lord would really love to do that and say, if you would just listen to me. But we have to give God control. But too many times we say, I'm taking it back and I'm in control. We need to come to God submissively and say, God, you're in control. Following the Word of God, biblical counsel, the Holy Spirit's direction in our life. The tongue is compared to, first of all, the bit in the horse's mouth. The tongue is compared to the helm of a ship. And then thirdly, the tongue is compared to a fire. Now look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. And it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We know this very clearly because it's August, and we live in Northern California, and we're in fire country. And it's amazing how the small things can spark a fire and destroy hundreds of thousands of acres, homes, and lives. The car fire just a number of years ago, I believe it was a tire that blew out, and the car was driving on the rim. It sparked and started a fire. Hundreds of thousands of acres caught on fire, lives killed and buildings burned up. Why? Because of one spark. And if you think about that with our tongue tonight, and I believe this is the greatest example that we see here, that the Lord gives a few verses here about the fire relating to the tongue, how one spark can start a massive fire. One spark can destroy many lives and destroy buildings. It destroys everything in its path. If you think about it, it's easy to start one little spark. It's easy for one little ember from a fire to go and catch something that's dry, catch it on fire. It's easy to start it, but it's hard to stop it. I mean, you see the airplanes and the tankers and everything, just firemen, just, you know, so many people trying to put out a fire for weeks and months sometimes, and it was started by one person, by many times one foolish act, maybe someone intentionally or unintentionally starting it, and it destroys everything in its path. How many times in our lives do we spark a fire in our family? We spark a fire in our workplace. We spark a fire in our church or online. We spark a fire, or sometimes sparking things all over the place, and we're setting things on fire as we go around, and we're starting them. And sometimes we start them, and then you realize quickly, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But you go to try to put it out, and all of a sudden, it's gone out of hand already. It's gone further than we really wanted it to go. See, a fire, it travels fast. It destroys everything in its path, and it takes lives. And really, when you compare our tongue and a fire, it can really travel fast. The destructiveness of harmful words, it can destroy things in its path, and it can take and hurt lives. We live in a day of uncontrolled, unfiltered speaking. Again, there's always been that day and age, but again, in the wonderful day of internet and social media, how anyone can get on any place and start any conversation, respond to someone on the other side of the world. We really have unfiltered, untamed tongues that many times Christians get involved in as well. We get involved in things where we shouldn't be responding, answering in areas where there's gossip, hate, pride, foolish speaking. So I want to ask you a few questions tonight. Are your words helpful or hurtful? Are your words helpful or hurtful? The Bible relates how just a little bit in the horse's mouth, the helm to a ship, the spark of a fire, how controlling those can be, how destructive or how helpful they can be, how useful those things can be, but how just the tongue, a small member in our body, can control our whole body. Are your words helpful or hurtful? Are your words useful or are they destructive? Are your words a curse or are they a cure? I think of Peter in the Bible, and Peter's a great example that we see how his words were either, you know, Jesus, I'll follow you, though all else leave you. He said, you're going to curse me tonight. And he went out and cursed Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I'm never going to leave you. You can't wash my feet. And Peter was always just speaking first, thinking later. If you didn't realize it's supposed to go the other way around, thinking first, speaking later. But then also God used Peter to preach at Pentecost. God used Peter as he would speak from the ship and say, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee. And he'd go walk on the water to Jesus. But it's an example how our tongue sometimes, in many cases, can be used for good or bad, can be harmful, can be helpful. There's a few verses I want to give you a challenge with tonight as we finish from Proverbs 10:19. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, you know, I just speak my mind. I just say everything that comes to my mind. Well, the Bible says there wanteth or lacketh not sin. The more we speak, the more we're getting in trouble. You know, that person's like, I'm just not going to say anything. And you might get frustrated at that person, but you're not going to say the wrong thing if you're saying nothing. Now, there's a time to speak. I get that. But there's a time to refrain from speaking as well. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If you want to love life, you've got the phrase, live, love, laugh. You know, if you want to, oh, maybe you've not seen that, I don't know. If you want to love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile and wickedness. To refrain, to hold back. As that bit would hold back, as the helm would hold back. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You say, well, everyone else is saying it. Well, don't let it be you. Don't be a part. Everyone else is talking about it. Well, you don't talk about it. Let it stop with you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth or my mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying. Is it helpful? Am I helping the cause or hurting the cause? I read this simple poem. It says, a careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate install. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. And so what side of that are we on? Again, the Bible says if you can tame your tongue, you can control your whole body. And I don't know anyone that is 100% completely under control and under the control of the Lord all the time. You know this, that there is never a time that our words do not matter. There's never a time that our words don't matter. There is weight and power to every word that we say. And death and life, they truly are in the power of the tongue. Are we using it for good or are we using it for bad? You say, well, there's times where it's good and there's times where it's not so good. There's times of victory and there's times of failure. And you know, that's part of the Christian life, of trying to battle maybe understanding, I struggle in this area, but I need to get better in this area. And trying to ask God to help to give victory of the delivery of our speech, the direction of our speech, and then realizing the destruction that our speech can leave many times. But may we direct our speech to the Lord. May we direct our speech to God and to His Word. May we try to point people to Christ instead of trying to point our opinion and our pride in any area. May we ask God to help us to control our tongues and not let our tongues control us. Because that little spark that it starts, and you think, well, just a little spark and you can stomp it out. But eventually it starts to get out of control and it starts to spread further. We may start it, but where it stops, we don't know. Let's be careful about starting things that we shouldn't be a part of, have a conversation in. Guess what? We don't have to have an opinion about everything and everyone and put it out there. We can ask God for guidance to refrain our lips and our speech, as we read about in several passages tonight, so that God would help us to not be part of the destruction, but part of the good. And truly, as a Christian, we should be the light of the world, pointing people to Christ, and people should look at your life. And no one's going to look at us thinking that we're perfect, but people should look at our lives and think, they're not perfect, but they are pointing others to Christ. People should look at our lives and think, they act different than the rest of this world, right? They should look at our lives and think, well, they talk different than others. They look different. They go different places. There's something different about them. May it not be just said that we're a Christian. May it be shown that we're a Christian. And many times, the biggest telltale sign that we give to others is with our speech and controlling that. It can be difficult, but it's asking for God to help to guide you and to submit at the beginning of the day and throughout the day. God, help me with this person that I know I'm going to face today, and I'm really going to want to tell them what I think. Help me not to say what I want to say, maybe, but help me to point them in the right manner, pointing to Christ. So let's be careful and help God, ask God to help us to control our tongue so that things don't start getting out of control in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the night, and Lord, the challenge about how powerful the tongue can be, how destructive it can be, but also, Lord, how helpful it can be to be used in the right manner. Lord, may we, if we've gotten our tongues out of control, may we check those things and get them back right so that we can be a proper testimony for you, a light for you, and point others to Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the message tonight and the Word of God especially, and please bless the offering as we take it this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take an offering tonight, please.